Welcome to Latte with a Lawyer, a podcast dedicated to bringing you the stories of some of America's most successful lawyers, figuring out what makes them tick, how they creatively solve problems, and how others aspiring to be them can follow in their footsteps.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another episode of Latte with a Lawyer. I'm your host, Jonathan Brickman, and it's noon here on the East Coast, but it's still morning there. We have Kara Thornton from the law firm Fortis Law Partners. Nice to have you, Kara.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
You bet. So just to kick off the show, Latte with a Lawyer, what's your morning beverage of choice to get started?
Definitely a latte. Well, I guess technically cafe au lait, but Huckleberry Roasters coffee and some steamed milk are my go-to.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah, I mean, a small percentage of the people say it's a latte, so maybe we should just say a black coffee with a lawyer. I don't know. It's a big deal to actually get a latte unless you go to Starbucks, I suppose.
That's true. I usually get them at home. So
yeah, very good.
We have good local roasters.
Yeah, well, you're in Denver, so yeah, there's lots of good coffee places there. Do you live in Denver?
I do. I live about a mile from downtown from our offices, which are next to Coors Field. So.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Right in the heart.
Oh, good. Yeah. Denver's a cool city. So tell us about your law practice. What do you do?
I'm a business and commercial litigator. I also do general corporate advisement and do some transactional work, about 20% transactional right now and about 80% litigation. But I do like the balance of having a little bit of both in my practice. I feel like it gives me a better perspective and eyes on the situation.
Okay. Give me a little bit of flavor of both of those buckets for you. Like what are typical cases?
From a litigation perspective, most of my cases are business divorces, breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, trademark, non-compete, trade secrets type cases.
Okay.
With the general corporate advisement, a lot of that falls within the litigation and a lot of those clients overlap. Sometimes it's risk management, sometimes it's a small M&A deal, sometimes just amending operating agreements.
I see, okay.
Advising on situations, so whatever comes up.
And you're on the defense? That. You tend to be on the defense side for the business?
I do both. I personally feel like there's so much litigation that defense feels more natural to me. But I do plaintiff's work too. I vet those very carefully.
Okay. Why does the defense feel more natural?
I think that there, like I said, there's a lot of litigation as it is. People are very quick to litigate in this country and, you know, shoot from the hip and move forward with litigation before they really know what the full facts are.
I do.
I mean, which is why, so when I do file cases myself, I want to make sure that they're strong cases and there's a legitimate basis, which you should do ethically anyway. Unfortunately, not everyone does that.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's a noble approach to it. Good.
I don't know that it's noble. It's just, it seems more practical to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now it's interesting. I mean, you know, everyone sort of looks at the world differently. I'm sure the plaintiff side feels like they're getting just, you know, compensation for, you know, medical malpractice or an injury or whatever the cases that are litigating too, right?
Right. And I mean, fortunately, I don't really deal with those types of cases, but even from a business litigation perspective, I mean, litigation isn't good for business. So it's not necessarily in my client's best interest to be in the courts regularly.
Yeah,
it takes away from the day-to-day.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I totally agree with it. So what do you like to, like, if you could spend your day doing one thing, what would it be? What's your favorite part of being a lawyer?
I really love the research and writing aspect of it, the briefing, which, I mean, I'm in my 21st year of practice and I should be passing that on to younger attorneys, and I often do, but I do love learning about the aspects of the law and really get into it. getting into it and learning more about the nuances.
So you're an academic at heart, is what you're telling me.
I guess you could say that, or an introvert maybe.
Well, I mean, you're a scholar. I mean, you like to dig in and do research. I'm not sure it has to do with, maybe there's a relationship between introversion or extroversion. I don't know. What was your path like? Where'd you go to college and about that story, like how you started and why you became a lawyer.
So that's a good question. I've always been interested in law, and I think that I really wanted to have visions of working in politics or for the government. I would say early on in high school, I had visions of going to law school. And I went to boarding school in North Carolina, and then I went to a women's college in Virginia, Holland University. And my junior year, instead of studying abroad, I spent a semester at the White House and thought that would be my path to politics, and decided that was not the path for me. It felt like a lot of walls and not a lot of movement and success. And so I regrouped and decided that instead of going to law school for politics, that I would look at other facets, and honestly thought I would end up in criminal defense and public service. But then I fell in love with businesses, and I really enjoy getting to know my clients' businesses and learning how they operate and learning why they went into the business. And that's where I landed and where I stuck for the most part.
Yeah. How'd you end up in Colorado from the East Coast?
My husband and I went to law school together. We graduated together, and we decided we wanted to go to the mountains or the beach. And so we thought Denver would be a great place to land. It was it still is very much an up and coming, relatively small city. And so we moved out here 2 weeks after we graduated, not knowing anyone, took the bar, and we moved abroad for a few years, but otherwise we've been here since.
Oh, nice. Well, Denver's a great place, and it is growing quite a bit, right?
It is. It's been interesting to see, but also nice to be a part of it.
Yeah. I have a brother who lived out there for probably 6 or 7 years outside in the suburbs. So I've been out there quite a few times. It's a great place.
Yeah, there's lots of easy getaways too, which is nice.
Yeah. Are you a skier too?
I am a skier, although I have to say, as I've gotten older, I can't deal with the weekend crowd. So my skiing is pretty much when I can get away for an afternoon or a morning and head up and get some runs in when it's not packed with people.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You're close enough. You can do that. All right, cool. So give me an example like of an interesting case that you've worked on that you can talk about that had some interesting elements to it.
I mean, I think all of the cases are interesting. One memorable case, relatively early on in my career, and there's still litigation that's kind of spawned off from that going on now 10 years later. So I guess it's about 10 years into my career, but it was six consolidated cases. There are parties across the world. Involved a great deal of real estate south of Denver and various businesses. And it was just really interesting to learn and to see everything that was going into it, learn all the aspects of the businesses. And the really interesting thing to me about that case is that everything my client told me was confirmed with the documents. And I feel like a lot of people just rely on what their clients say, and that's typical go-to. I like to make sure I confirm what my clients say. Sometimes their memory is faulty. Sometimes, things are different in the documents than what they recall. And so it was really interesting to me that at the end of the case and looking back, everything that he had told me at the outset was confirmed with the other facts from other parties and the documents that were produced in the case. But that was a fun case, and it had a lot of different nuances, a lot of international law, And at the end of the day, we got a good resolution.
What were you trying to defend there?
My client was the trustee of several real estate trusts, as well as the president of some companies that were involved. And so he had been sued for various breaches of duties.
I see.
So we were ultimately successful in our defense. So it was really, really interesting. And it's nice too, because you work together for so long that you become friends. And so, you know, more than 10 years after the fact, we still speak regularly, and he's retired now, but it's just nice to develop those relationships. And he's also a good mentor in many ways. I mean, he was very involved in, you know, high-end businesses for decades. And so in that sense, you get a lot of insight and perspective that I wouldn't normally have in my practice.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So you like the relationship part of it. It's nice to build a relationship with somebody. You feel like you're their partner, helping them prevail. Yeah.
I do. I mean, I think it's inevitable. Litigation, I mean, our cases go on for years. And so if you don't get along, or there's a disconnect there, it's not going to behoove either the client or the attorney to continue. And so I think it's a really good idea for clients to interview a couple of lawyers. I mean, it's as much about my experience and abilities as it is as our ability to connect personality-wise.
Yeah. What happens if you don't have a good connection? The chemistry is not good. What happens?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say that if the chemistry isn't good, you obviously would try to rectify that situation. I can't recall specifically a situation where it wasn't good. I mean, there's certainly times where you and the client need to sit down and say, hey, look, this isn't working. This is what we need to do. But we're in the service business.
Right.
And so it's my job to meet the client where they are. And sometimes I need to get them more over to my side. And sometimes I need to reevaluate and make sure that where they want to be is where we need to be, or where we can be legally.
Yeah.
But I would say that if it wasn't working, then I would find someone in my firm who could step in, or the client would ultimately need to go elsewhere.
Got it. Do you go to court in your cases, or is it just more, what do I want to say? I don't even know the right word. Do you actually go in a courtroom? Or is it technical? I'm trying to think.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
It's funny because I would say, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I would have called myself more of a litigator, in the sense that it's a lot of research and writing and drafting. And since COVID, the courts got backed up. And so, I mean, I was in trial for 5 or 6 weeks last year. So, which is more than, honestly, than I typically am. Most of our cases are resolved before trial.
Yeah.
And so I do go to court. It's interesting. It's fun, but it's a good experience. So the whole litigator to like trial lawyer transition, I wouldn't call myself. I mean, I'm not in court every day, and especially since the pandemic, so much is done remotely, which is really, really nice. It's very cost effective for the clients.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to get in there sometimes and to present your case and see how things pan out.
And when these are bench trials, I'm guessing, or jury trials?
Both. They were all bench trials that I had last year. Oftentimes the parties will demand a jury, and then right before trial, waive the jury, in business cases in particular.
Have you done a jury trial?
Those all had jury demands. I have done a jury trial. It's been a long time, though. It was a suburb of Denver. It was the last jury trial I did, and it was a very educated suburb, which was good because it was a business breach of contract case. So a lot of our jurors had PhDs and higher education and were retired. But I think that depending on the facts of the case, a lot of jurors would be very bored with the facts that are being presented to them in business litigation.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what people romanticize about. I think a lot of them, right? Like being in front of a jury and trying your case.
It's true. And I think, I mean, the jury adds a completely different element, right? I think, I mean, you know, I have partners who have told stories about jury trials they tried 30 years ago. And afterwards, they were talking to the jurors and they're like, well, we thought your suit was too nice, or we didn't like your shoes, or there's so many different factors that come into a jury trial that don't necessarily have anything to do with the claims that are being tried.
Right.
That it gives you pause before you take that path.
Yeah, there's a lot of risk, right?
Right. Yeah. And a lot of unknown, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of unknown. So you said your husband, you went to law school. What kind of law does he practice?
He is at the Attorney General's office. So he does civil defense and employment litigation for the state of Colorado. Okay.
Interesting. So you guys must have some nice dinner discussions, right?
We do. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I think we approach things very differently, which is great. It's good to have different perspectives. And we have two kids who also like to argue. So just trying to pick a restaurant is a full-on mediation.
Oh, nice. Very good. Do you think you see any of your kids ending up as lawyers, or they're young, maybe?
They're 12 and 14, and they both talk about it as a fallback career. So we'll see.
As a fallback career. That's funny. Okay. I mean, for many people, that would be aspirational. That's a fallback. Okay. They have high standards.
I know, right? It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, maybe I'll be an attorney if I have to. So.
If I have to. That's very funny. Well, good for them. They must be good students and ambitious.
They are. They're very good students, and they're very ambitious and have big dreams. So that's exciting.
Oh, good. That's excellent. Good stuff. Who along the way, any influencers that kind of shaped your thinking or career?
You mean like public influencers?
Anyone. Could be Homer Simpson. I don't know. Anybody.
Yeah, I think, I mean, certainly. My uncle is a criminal defense attorney and been a criminal court judge in Nashville, Tennessee. And he was certainly a huge influencer in my life and my path to law school, I would say. And has always been a stand-up guy and someone I really respect. I lucked out with having the first firm I was with. I was there for 15 years, and my mentor there is still amazing. He's in his 80s now, and we still get together for lunch. So he's been really fabulous and just teaching and guiding me along the way. But I think it's just, I mean, everyone influences you, right? Like opposing counsel always has something to teach you, your younger associates, the people on the street. I mean, a lot of times before trial, I'll sit down with my 12-year-old and talk to him about the facts of the case and make sure that he understands what I'm saying. And the questions he asked are so poignant at times, and they're so basic that I overlook them. Mm. So I would say all of those people have certainly influenced who I am and where I am and where I'm going. So it's nice to have such a wide range of people out there who can help forge the path ahead.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. To do the kind of work you're doing, what do you think makes you successful? What are the traits that you need? Skills?
Patience, perseverance, and time. I mean, I think it's one of the things that attorneys so often do is rush through things and don't take the time to learn the facts or to fully put together the facts. I mean, what we're doing largely on a day-to-day basis is putting together a puzzle and trying to figure out where things went wrong and why. And ideally there's a solution that will avoid trial, but if there's not, you still need to know the hows and the whys and be able to answer that and to move ahead. And so I think that it's really important to spend that time learning things and seeing things. And the other aspect is really flexibility. I've found most recently in the last year, I would say, in going to trial, the parties will come in and have this position that is unwavering, even if the facts are contrary to their position and even if their own client's facts are contrary to their position. And it's surprising to me that there's a lack of flexibility and ability to adjust as needed. And I don't know if that's something that's being taught or if it just happens, the circumstances were that they were really you know, wedded to this story. But I think it's important to take a step back and see both sides and see where things are going to the extent that you can and prepare for that rather than sticking to a line or a path that maybe isn't viable based on the facts of the law.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because I had I did a podcast the other day with another very successful trial attorney. And I asked him a similar question. He said the ability to adjust on the fly, right, was like, you know, in paramount, right, to being successful because, you know, you, as he put it, build this wall and then the attorney comes in and blows a hole through it. You have to get up there and adjust and patch it, right, and adjust, change your positioning. So I would agree with you. It's the same thing with a salesperson going to a meeting. If you're going with a script and somebody moves you in a different direction, you need to be able to think on your feet, right? So you're right. The ability to think on your feet and adjust, I would think, would be very important. I would expect most people have that skill set. Otherwise, how do you try a case?
I mean, you would think, and I think to some degree they do, and then sometimes they don't. And part of me, from my perspective and my own personal experience, I think a lot of it comes down to not necessarily fully knowing the facts. So like all of my cases will involve a chronology of the facts and the documents and everything, whether it's a very important fact to a very minuscule fact. And knowing that and having that accessible is really important for me and having that ability to adjust, to make sure that your adjustment isn't doing more harm than good.
Yeah. So if you really know it in cold, I mean, you can move in any direction you need to, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
So being well prepared is critical.
Definitely. It's important.
Yeah. Okay, good. Interesting. Yeah. So thorough. It sounds like you're probably pretty thorough. You spent a lot of time when you're building up towards a case, I would imagine.
I do. I mean, I think that's again, I think there are a lot of people who don't do that. I know, especially city attorneys and DAs, and they really can work effectively on their feet with very limited knowledge of a case. And I think that's admirable. In my practice, we learn our cases from start to finish and the facts involved. And so it's important to me to have that basis of knowledge, both in the facts and the law, as I'm going into something so that when things do arise, which they inevitably will, I'm prepared to handle it.
Yeah. How do you create that? I'm curious, now that you're touching on something I'm interested in too, about, like you said, our firm. So how do you build that culture so everybody's behaving that way?
Within a large firm?
Or just your firm? Like, I mean, how do you create that kind of culture? Everybody has that standard.
I mean, I know at Fortis, it's really important to us to provide quality legal representation. And so I think it's more of a quality over quantity and taking the time to do things and to do them properly. And so within the firm, it's making sure that you're partnering with people who have similar standards and similar approaches, and also teaching younger associates how to develop and manage a case properly in the way that you believe is appropriate. And I think it's very time consuming, I think, to teach younger attorneys how to do things. I mean, you leave law school not really knowing how to practice law. And right. So it's a huge investment for a firm and younger attorneys to spend that time. But it's also, from my perspective, kind of our duty. People did that for us. And I feel like we need to pass that on.
Yeah.
And it's also helpful. It's really nice when you realize that your associate has got this and they're capable of stepping in and handling something. And a lot of that has to do with the work that you've done together over the last year.
Got it. And so you're part of the leadership team, making sure those values and traits continue, I would imagine. Yes.
That's the goal.
Okay. No, I'm saying it doesn't just happen, right? Like you have to, I mean, things happen because of the leadership and management, right?
Right. I think it's true. And so I think that it's very important to just take the time and sit down. And I think it's hard to do if you have a lot of different people working with you. And so we have both corporate and litigation in our firm, and there, I work with everyone to some degree, but also there's a smaller group within the firm that I tend to work with or go to regularly. And I think those relationships develop obviously over time and with experience.
Got it. Okay, good. Well, let me just to sort of finish it off here. I mean, just final thoughts you want to leave with the audience about your firm and the best way to connect with you.
Sure. I mean, Fortis is, we're a mid-sized firm in Denver. We represent all of everything from startups to a few publicly traded companies and a wide range of businesses, including cannabis and now with the legalization of psychedelics, those businesses as well, but just a variety, everything business-wise that you can imagine. And you can connect with us at Fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S, lawpartners.com. We'd love to hear from you. Really appreciate your time, Jonathan.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Very good. So for everybody, again, Kara Thornton with Fortis Law Partners in Denver. And this is sponsored by Emotion Track, which is a legal tech platform. And we help litigators prepare for mediation trials with our insights platform. So thanks again, Kara. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet.